Blog Talk Radio.
Whatever you're doing here,
We're having a little technical difficulty. Thank you for calling in, tuning into my show. My name is Dr. James Thompson, and this is my show. Failure is not an option. I apologize for the beginning of the show. We had some technical difficulties, but the devil is a liar. Once again, thank you for calling in from your phones, from Skype, from Facebook, Twitter. Thank you all. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing every day in our lives. We ask that you allow us to discern the essence of your word so that we become your word and your word can become us and we can be, as Christ said, one with you. Father, I pray now for those that are sick and shut in. I pray for this country. I pray for this universe, this world. Father, I give you all the praise and I give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for calling in. My name is Dr. James Thompson, and this is my show, Failure is Not an Option. And tonight, we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Christ spoke about the kingdom in many parables, according to what the Bible says. Now, as you know, a parable is a brief, symbolical story told to illustrate a truth, to capture the spirit of a thing with material symbolism. It's a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Now, as we shall review some of the parables that Christ told in the gospel, the ones I want to focus on are pertaining to him speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And the first one I want you to go to is Mark. Mark 4 and 33. That's Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 33. We're going to read verse 33 and verse 34. And verse 33 says, "And with many such parables spoke he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without parable spoke he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." So he spoke in parables. He spoke with little stories, illustrations. And it says that he did that all the time. Now, except when they were alone. Now, let's look at verse 34 one more time. Let's look at it again. It says, "Without a parable spoke he not unto them." As we look at this, when Christ was speaking about the things pertaining to his kingdom, he spoke in parables. But on many other occasions, on many other subjects, he didn't use a parable. He just talked about it. Now, why did he do that? Why did he use stories to illustrate the kingdom of God? Well, one of the reasons, because I would say that he did not want the Romans to think he was starting an uprising. And see, the Jews was looking for this king to come with the sword and to freedom from their misery and their Roman captives, a warrior king. But Jesus' mission was completely different. So, and looking at, you know, he didn't want his mission interrupted before he had completed it. So when he was talking about kingdoms and talking about a kingdom, he used stories, parables. And basically what he was saying was those that who would hear this will hear it. And if God wants you to understand it, that will be given unto you. But for you that are with me, my 12, when they were alone, he explained things to them. And the Bible says, but when they were alone, when he was with his disciples, he expounded explained. He showed them at length the spiritual meaning of the parables. But the more important reason we find is in Matthew 13, 10, and 17. So if you'll go with me right now to Matthew 13, 10, and 17. But before we go there, once again, I want to thank everyone for calling in. And again, tonight, I want to talk about this. So I probably will do most of the teaching and most of the talking tonight. I have some of the dynamic women and young men who have been tuning into the show, and they have been very, very helpful, very, very helpful. But I want to talk about this kingdom concept, and because a lot of people has really turned it into a material thing or a material reality. So I want to get a little deep into this. Now, as I was saying, let's go to Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. And let me apologize. I'm fighting this sinus infection. I don't know where it came from, this cold. But, you know, the devil can't stop God's word. Okay, that's Matthew 13, verse 10 through 17. And verse 10 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now, here we are. I'm going to the scripture so you can see as he explains why he's talking in parables, because even the disciples was like, you know, why are you doing that? Well, anyway, it goes on to say in verse 11, "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." The verse 12 says, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even he that has, even that he has." Now, verse 13, and this is where he basically explains why he speaks to them in parables. He said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not." Let me read that again. "Because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Now, in verse 14 he says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, which said, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." So basically he was just fulfilling the prophecy that some would see, and they would hear it, but they wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't hear it, what the essence of it, or what the word was saying. In 15, he says, "For this people's heart," this is really explaining why they couldn't hear, why they were not hearing. He said, "Their heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." It's a key point there, key part. Yeah, we said should be converted. I want you to remember that. He said should be converted. In 16, verse 16 says, that's Matthew 13, now we're at verse 16. It says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now, the other people that he was speaking to in parables, he had identified clearly, 13, 14, 15, that they couldn't see. They couldn't hear. But they had eyes, and they had ears. But because they were blessed, his disciples, they had eyes, they had ears, and they could see. "For verily I say unto you," in verse 17, we're talking before I read 17, but we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, and we're talking about why Jesus used parables to identify the concepts or the spiritual concepts of the kingdom. But when he was alone with his disciples, he spoke to them and he gave them the meaning of what he had been teaching. Now, in verse 17, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So they were singled out. They were basically, they were called by Christ. He called each and every one of them, like he has called each and every one of us. And when we look at the parables that he had in teaching, we should be able to perceive, just like the disciples, as he told his disciples, you have the eyes that can see. You have the ears that can hear. There's many out there who have eyes, but they can't see. There's many out there who have ears, but they can't hear. And he explained to them that he knew right then at that time who it was that would hear him and continue his teaching. There were many people all around about him, but then he knew that there would be some that it would not be absorbed by them. And since we're discussing God's kingdom, let's look at the word kingdom for a moment. So we're talking about God's kingdom. And I want to kind of take a good look at this thing, because I want to kind of separate it from the concept of this being just a physical thing, because it starts in the spiritual realm. Okay, we're going to get to how God created the heavens and the earth, but let's go on. Okay, what is a kingdom? A kingdom. A kingdom is a realm. It's a realm, a place, and it's referring to some state like New Orleans, Florida, New Mexico, or a domain, and it's ruled by a king or queen. This is a kingdom. You got a ruler. It's a domain. It's a place. And what is a realm? Because it said it was a realm. A realm is a region in which someone is dominant as the ruler. It's just a domain within which when things happen or things occur, they are ordered by the one who is dominant or the ruler of that realm or that domain. Now, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is within us. Christ told us that. The kingdom of heaven, okay, the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at that real closely and listen to it. The kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, the place in mankind where God lives or dwells, it is within us. As I said a moment ago, if a kingdom is a realm or a domain, a place where a ruler lives, then God's true kingdom is originated within our spiritual core, our hearts. It is a spiritual kingdom. Let's look at the word spirit or spiritual. It means incorporeal and not composed of matter, having no material existence. So we can safely say God's kingdom is not made of material things, but the power and spiritual authority of God allows God to be, I want you to write these words down and remember them. Now, we say God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, but God is, and here's one of the words, omnipotent. Omnipotent, omnipotent, which means he has unlimited power and he's able to do anything. He's able to do anything. He's all powerful, almighty, supreme. And here's another word, omniscient, 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 omniscient. It means knowing everything. All-knowing, all-wise, all-seeing. And omnipresent is another word, omnipresent, omnipresent, meaning being able to be everywhere at the same time. So, in fact, God's kingdom is all of creation, because he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's everywhere at the same time. And he spoke creation into existence. But since we were made in God's image, and God is a spirit, as it says so in leading up to that is 23 and 24. That's John chapter 4, reading verse 23 and 24, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, he is accessible to us through his Holy Spirit, which dwells in our hearts and our minds, our core self. So God's spiritual domain, and we talked about a kingdom being a domain or a realm, is the hearts of his children, you and I. And since he's everywhere, nothing can separate us from God but us. When we allow ourselves to be tricked by the enemy, when we turn away from God mentally, we close the mental door to our hearts, to our spirits. We close it up. We don't allow God in. The devil can't do that. We're the ones that can do that. And we have to understand God's kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Okay. Now, I said the kingdom of God was in us. Okay, I got a little carried away going back there talking about omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnipotent. But I want to make it clearly understood that we can't confine God, even if we're talking about God being his kingdom or his domain, being the hearts and minds of men. We can't relegate God to just that arena. God's all present. He's everywhere, and he's the creator of the universe. So when God created man, he gave us a part of himself. And that's something, because he's so vast, he's everywhere at the same time. There's no limit to him. Therefore, he can have so many children where he can give and share a part of himself and give us life. The Bible says he breathed the breath of life into us. Okay. Remember what I said. The kingdom of God is within us. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And let's look at verse 20 and 21. And in the King James Bible, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he asked them and said, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Then he said in verse 21, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So we go looking for God in all the external places. Yes. God can be found in everything because he's the creator of everything. But when you're talking about that interpersonal, that vital personal relationship with God, he gave us a link to him, accessibility to his holiness, to his power, which we lost when Adam and Eve were disobedient. But Christ came, and through his sacrifice, him completing his mission, gave us access to that again through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, indwells, it activates the Spirit that's already in us, and they merge. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. Yes. I'm not making a paradox here. God is everywhere, all-powerful, can do everything. But God, his spiritual kingdom is in our hearts. It's in our minds. Okay. God's spiritual kingdom has its seat in our feelings and affections of our soul. But when we allow our flesh to control it, to control those emotions, then we're not operating in the realm of the spirit. We're being controlled by the realm of physicality and materialism. Okay. Okay, we're about to go on a break. Before we go on a break, let me say this. Okay. How do we enter into God's kingdom? How do we enter into God's kingdom? How do we get there? God's kingdom is within us. It's a spiritual kingdom. God is a spirit. He's seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we get to God's kingdom? Let's look at Matthew 18. That's Matthew 18 and 3. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. And this is what the word of God says. And said, and this is Christ, and said, verily I say unto you, this is Christ speaking, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Remember that word converted? I told you to hold on to it earlier. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is a key important point that is very vital. It is very vital. Be converted. I want you to just take a look at that. Be converted. That means to be changed, to be clothed. I'm just missing that word. To be clothed with the spirit of humility by laying aside our selfish ambitions and our selfish views and becoming weak, but not weak, weak with humbleness. Because you see, humbleness, when we exercise humbleness, that means that we're not controlled by pride and by arrogance. Satan was controlled by pride, jealousy, and arrogance. And he still uses those tools to alienate and separate us from God. Christ said, except you be converted and except you be as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why would he say that? You can't become a child when you're old, unless he's talking about not a physical thing, but a mental and spiritual thing. If we cannot apply ourselves in nature, if you can't enter to the spirit. Let me say it again. If we can't apply ourselves to the natural nature of who we are spiritually, we can't enter into that spirit. We cannot enter into the kingdom. See, when I said naturally, we are spiritual beings on a human journey. I said all the time because I needed to be understood. You're a spiritual being on a human journey, not a human being on a spiritual journey. And unless you understand that, your natural mind understands that you're a spirit and that you're on a spiritual journey, then you won't be able to submit to the humility required of the spirit. The flesh is not going to do it, so that you can enter, unless you become as little children. What about a little child? What about a little child? We'll talk about that when I come back. We're going to talk about a little bit more about little children, or the concept, really, when he says a little child. Okay? God is good. And here we go, dealing with our mechanical problems once again.
Come on, everybody, let's give God this worship. If you know he's awesome, come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace, you're in awe of his goodness, you're in awe of his mercy, you're in awe of his provision. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your hands as we lift our voices. Come on, say, my God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Come on, say it, hide me from the rain. That's it. My God is awesome. Come on. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, you got it. My God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Has he ever covered you? Come on. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Weak.
Forever he'll reign. One word. Come on, everybody. My God. Somebody lift your voice.
Awesome.
If you know it's been good, say it.
Awesome.
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 Say, my God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you know it's been good, do you testify?
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
Come on. My God.
My God.
Verse 2. Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed. Yeah, my God is awesome.
God is
listen,
awesome.
Today I am forgiven. His grace is why
I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on, you say,
my God.
Come on, awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, look back over your life.
Awesome.
And see where the Lord has brought you from.
Awesome.
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 Let's talk about why he's awesome. You say, he's mighty.
He's mighty.
What is it? Leave it out.
Thanksgiving. I don't know what's happening tonight. The system is not working. I don't know what's happening tonight. The system is not working. I've been talking and no one could hear me. So most of what I said, no one heard. When I was talking about the kingdom of heaven and the leaven of the bread. But we'll move on. We'll move on. Now, before I do, though, I'd like to kind of catch up because we had some problems with our audio, and they kept telling me it's going to be all right, but I can see now that much of what I was saying was not heard. But I'm going to catch up and see if I can fill in some of the blanks. We talked about the wheat and the tares growing together and how at the harvest they'd be separated, and we shouldn't worry about that. Because it'll be God who separates those, and it's hard to tell them apart. We know that one is this and one is the other, but the reason why it is that, what's the cause? What's the essence of it? God knows the heart, and God will be a better judge to deal with that. And we also talked about the leaven of bread that the woman used in the flour. And that Christ was saying that the kingdom of heaven is like that in the mustard seed, that the kingdom of heaven is like that. They grow small, but they grow. And just as the kingdom of heaven grows within us, our minds and our bodies and our spirits, this is why he used those terminologies when he was trying to use symbolism to express spiritualism. He was, as I said, those two, the grain of mustard seed, the parable about that and the parable about the leaven, they dealt with the growth and the process of the growth of God's kingdom within our hearts. But let's move on. I apologize for the technical problems. There was a blank there. And I can't tell exactly where it began, so I apologize, but let's move on. We're not going to let the devil win. Let's look at another parable that Christ spoke about. And it's Matthew 13:44. And this is what he said. He said, and the kingdom of heaven. See, I've been talking about parables that Christ used to refer to the kingdom of heaven, to give us an example of how the kingdom of heaven is in different ways, in different aspects of the kingdom itself. As we spoke about the different parables in Matthew, those parables were utilized to express and explain to the people about the kingdom of heaven. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's go to, okay, 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, of which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. That's a short parable, but it was a parable nevertheless. It was a parable nevertheless. Christ is talking about the way in which men actually do make their money. They have the actually obtain wealth. He states it like this, where a man would actually sacrifice his properties to obtain other property. But in this case, he's saying, here he found something more valuable than the property that he had. When he came to realize the true value of the spirit was more, so than the things that he had. The man gave up all his material gains. He suddenly realized that he found access to God's kingdom when he realized that he was prepared to sacrifice all the material things that he had because of the joy that he had, his eyes had been opened. As we talked about the sword, we talked about how the word fell on different mindsets of different people. We talked about how some got it, how some didn't get it. And it was blessings from God to allow your mind to be open and receive it. And this man was so happy that he, by chance, was given the opportunity to see and realize what he had found. And that's a spirit that we need to understand as we grow into an understanding of the spirit of God, the kingdom of God. In 44, Matthew 13 and 45, Christ spoke another parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man selling godly pearls, a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. Now, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, they show just how valuable and precious it is for man to truly find and understand where and what the kingdom of heaven truly is. It is so precious. It's so precious. Christ is talking through parables, but he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about spiritual events. He's talking about spiritual matters. Let's go on. In another parable, Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. And this is in Matthew 13 and 47. So these all fall right behind each other in Matthew chapter 13. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world that the angels shall come and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and garnishing of teeth. Here we have going back to the concept of the wheat and the tare, the wheat growing together, and then when it's time for them to be harvested, that it would be God. The only difference here is the angels would come and do it, but it's the same concept that they're going to catch. The net is representing all of the people pulled together. But it's the angels that separate these people. And it won't be fun. They said there will be garnishing of teeth. There will be wailing. Christ is using these parables, these stories, to identify spiritual truths. Again, as I said in the beginning, that parables symbolize a deeper meaning of a thing. A parable symbolizes a spiritual meaning. It depends on what the parable is. And see, as I said earlier, Christ spoke about other things, and he didn't use parables. But when he spoke about the kingdom, he used parables. And I'm going to show you something here. Now, when we talk about, say, the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares, they deal with the relationship of mankind, our relationship to the kingdom of God. The sower deals with the relationships of the classes of men, those who get it, those who don't get it, and the reasons why they don't. And then we have the tares or the tares. They deal with the kingdom of the wicked. They're growing together with the good. But then, see, we don't have the expertise to absolutely be on point as we separate them. That's why God said, let them go together. I'll separate them. You don't have the ability. It deals with the relationship of mankind with the kingdom. They may grow together, but they won't all enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then we talk about the mustard seed and the leaven. This is identifying the process. It's identifying the process that it takes for the kingdom itself to manifest itself in this realm of existence. It originates in the spirit. But he used the example of the mustard seed, identifying how small the mustard seed is and how it grows. And then he's talking about the leaven, how it's small, but it affects the whole loaf. The process, these parables. They're broken down into different categories. The first two were dealing with the relationships of man to the kingdom. And the next two, the mustard seed and the leaven, was dealing with the process involving man relationships to the kingdom. And then we had the hidden treasure and the goodly pearls. And this is identifying the preciousness of the kingdom under the idea of discovering where it was hidden. The preciousness of finding it, finally, of God allowing us to come to an awareness of what it is. And the last one, it was about separation. It's the same thing as the wheat and the tares. And it's about the separation of the good and the separations of the bad from entering into the kingdom. But I really want you to understand, as we talk about the kingdom of heaven, I want you to understand that it's a spiritual kingdom. God's kingdom is spiritual. The Bible says that he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we talked about God being omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. We talked about God being everywhere. God is the creator of the universe. We know in Genesis it says that God created the heavens and the earth. But it also, we need to understand when we're dealing with mankind, we're dealing with a special creation of God. That's why the angels fall below us. It's a special creation of God because God imparted into us a portion of his spirit. Again, we are spiritual beings on an earthly journey. And Christ is identifying to us how the kingdom of God, how God's kingdom operates. And he was using stories, parables. But he was making us, giving us the opportunity to understand that these were methods using symbols or using material things that men could associate with. He talked about things that people could relate to, that people could associate with. He talked about those things that people knew. He talked about those things that would allow the people to have some kind of idea about how God's true kingdom is. And he made a very, 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 so you have to, the scripture said that we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to write and divide the word of truth. We have to look at it, and we have to see that when Christ was teaching, he was letting them know that there are certain aspects of the kingdom that you need to be aware of. If you're not aware of them, your conduct and your actions, if you're not privy to this, you won't be able to enter into them, into the kingdom. When he was talking about the attitude of the mindset of the rich man, he was talking about the humility and the meekness of having a childlike mind that's not aggressive, that's not driven by pride and not driven by arrogance. He was outlining certain things for us to grab onto and find, as he's talked about the man who found the pearl of great price. And as he talked about the man who found this valuable treasure, a hidden treasure in the field. So it graduated down from the word being spoken with the sower, the word being spoken, and how some got it and some didn't once again. But the kingdom of heaven, Christ made a very, very pronounced statement. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within. We talked about the kingdom. We talked about the kingdom, being a domain where a ruler lives. We talked about being a realm. We talked about this is where God dwells. This is where the king dwells. We talked about how we need to truly understand that this is a spiritual movement. What we mess up is we become religious. And we take the law and we try to apply it by the letter. We can't do it. That's why Christ had to come. He had to come so that he can alleviate from us those tedious tasks that we couldn't perform. Even though it was the law that was guiding mankind at the time to salvation or giving an opportunity to enter into the kingdom, because the law required absolute right conduct. The law was like unbending. But Christ came so that we could get an understanding of the mercy of God and to free us from the yoke of the law. And he, as I said earlier, he taught about a lot of things, but when he started talking about his home, when he started talking about the kingdom, he used parables because he knew that some in the crowd would go back and tell the Romans, yeah, he's talking about establishing a kingdom. And he's talking about overthrowing Rome. That's one thing, as I said earlier, that would interfere with his mission. See, he had to teach his disciples, and he had to spend time with them. As I talked about before, how they went from one place to the other, but he had to train them. So he had to use certain terminologies when he was speaking about his home or speaking about his kingdom so that the people who were out there spying on him, they wouldn't interfere with his mission. And when the Bible says when he got to with his disciples, he would expound. He would explain and show them at great length the spiritual meaning of the parables. Now, I'm going to open the mic, as I said. Is there anyone who wants to speak on that? We're talking about, first, let me thank everyone who has called in, tuned into my show. I'm Dr. James Thompson. And my show is Failure is Not an Option. And we've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God. And I really wanted to get across and get an understanding that God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it's the foundation of that kingdom is within the hearts of man. The kingdom is from the inside out. We're looking for some external. Let's go back and look at how they didn't accept Christ, because they were looking for this warrior. It was looking for someone to come along with a sword and just freedom from their bondage. that slay all the Romans and set them free, and a glorious king. Christ came talking about an inner journey. See, they were looking for someone who was talking about an external journey of mayhem and violence and slaughter. But Christ came talking about grace. He came talking about mercy. He came talking about deliverance. He came talking about salvation. He came talking about healing. He came talking about spiritual things that was more penitential, because Christ knew that each and every one of us had to fall in line with the supreme law. We are born, we die, and then we're judged. And nothing that we have on this planet we can take with us. He even told us that we shouldn't place our treasures up on earth. We should place them in heaven. And then talking about that, he identified certain principles and concepts that are required for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to master, I won't say master them, but we have to at least be familiar with them and allow them to become a part of who we are. And as I said, he spoke in parables when he was talking about the kingdom. He was talking about his home. He talked about anything else openly. But he knew that everybody wasn't prepared for that. But there will be a time when it would be given to everyone freely. And we're living in that time. So we are without excuse. There's no reason for us to not understand and not know the mysteries of God and not understand the kingdom of God. We talk about, let me say this once again. Let's look at this from an individual perspective. I'm talking about me now. I'm talking about God's work on me internally. I'm talking about my spirit. I'm talking about that core self, place that I go, no one else can go. I cannot tell a lie there, because it's like looking at the man in the mirror, that place right there inside of me. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. There's no possibility of deception, no possibility of lying. And I look over there, and there's God. He's sitting there. Because, see, God's absolute truth, and in that place, nothing resides but absolute truth, because a lie will not be able to sustain itself there. So looking at me, looking at my abilities, looking at me and allowing God to purge me, shape me, to improve my thinking, to place me to the right mindset, because Christ said it. Remember when I talked about him saying that the rich man can't get in? Well, as I said, it's a mindset. We have to think correctly, righteousness, right thinking, the word itself. There are other definitions that people use for it, but righteousness means thinking correctly, right, doing the right things. And this is what Christ was trying to show when he was talking about the kingdom. And he said, okay, you want to know what it's like? You want to know where I came from? You want to know where you're going to go when you leave here? Let me tell you. It's like a man who went out and found a treasure in a field. And when he found it, he was so happy that he allowed himself to be converted. Remember when I said that? He allowed himself to be changed. And it wasn't that he was joking. He was serious about it. Why? Because he gave up everything he had. In other words, he stopped doing all the other things that he was doing, and he started doing that which he found hidden in that field that was a great treasure. And the man who was looking for the goodly pearl, when he found that pearl. See, these things represent physical reality in the sense of their stories. Going back to the very beginning, we were talking about stories, parables, stories within stories, parables. Now, is there anyone who would like to say anything at this point? Anyone at all? Amen. Amen. And I really want to thank everyone that called in, everyone that's here. I want to say again that this is my show. Failure is not an option. And I'm your host, Dr. James Thompson. And we've been talking about the kingdom of God, trying to take it from being some kind of physical reality into understanding that it's the spiritual kingdom first. It has to originate and develop within our hearts. It has to convert and change us. And we have to realize that God is the king, and the king dwells on the inside of us, not externally. So when we want to really speak to our Lord, we need to focus on going internally. Christ told us to go into our closet, go into that secret place. That's where we go. We can speak externally because the Bible tells us to speak it as if it is, to bind and to release. But the kingdom, we want to really meet and speak and greet the Lord and greet the Father. As Christ said, the kingdom is within us. The kingdom is within us. And once again, I know that God created the heavens and the earth. God is omnipotent, having unlimited power, able to do anything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipresent everywhere at the same time. No one else can do that. Nothing else can do that. But even with that, he set us up by allowing us to become truly a part of who he is. And he breathed his spirit into us. I've been talking about the kingdom of heaven. If anyone would like to speak. If not, I'm going to play a song and then come back and close out with prayer.
I've been changed. past.
It's over.
It's over.
Say right now.
Right now is the
today.
Today is the
I've been changed.
I've been changed.
Come on, somebody declare that. Around them as you did
with Job, God. I ask that your divine favor, your mercy, and your love encompasses them and lifts them up. God, I ask that you give them a divine holiday, that you meet all of their needs, God. I ask that you protect them and that the enemy is prevented from interfering in their happiness in any way, shape, form, or fashion, God. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise, God. I thank you for being with me tonight. I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for just the mercy, the compassion, and love that you show us as human beings and how you forgive our ignorance and how you forgive our trespasses and how you forgive us not truly grasping and understanding the spirituality of your word. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your compassion. I want to say that I love you with all my heart and all my soul. God, I give you all the praise and all the glory. And to all those that have tuned into my show tonight, I would like to tell you thank you and good night.